The State Department of Justice released a new plan this week aimed at combating the growing problem of elder financial abuse. That's when older adults, along with other vulnerable individuals, are targeted by caregivers, family members, or in some cases strangers, and either coerced or manipulated into giving their money away. In some cases, the money is simply stolen or the person is the target of a scam. Our next guest is here to talk about what's included in the new plan and how it might help stop elder financial abuse. John Hendrick is the director of the Elder Law Center and Elder Financial Empowerment Project for the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups. John, welcome to Central Time.
Glad to be here, Rob.
Well, before we get to these recommendations from the Attorney General's Task Force, talk about the problem of elder financial abuse. How much are we seeing this?
Well, it's increasing and it's highly underreported. Based on national incidence studies, we estimate there are 35,000 cases in Wisconsin every year of persons over 60 that are victims of financial crimes. And we know that the most prominent place to report is Adult Protective Services. Some people report to law enforcement, some people report to our project, but Adult Protective Services gets the most calls, and they get about 1,000. So that's one out of 35 cases. 34 out of 35 are not reported to anyone.
Talk about some of the most common forms this kind of financial abuse might take.
Well, most commonly, the perpetrator is a family member. So 60% of the reports are family members that are victimizing someone in their family. And one of the most common tools is the financial power of attorney. And many people use a financial power of attorney for the convenience and to have someone help them with their finances, but also it can be abused. And that's 12% of all the reports are using a financial power of attorney.
And is this usually the case where, if we're talking about a senior, they're at a point in their life where they feel like they can't manage their finances anymore and need that little bit of extra help from maybe a relative?
You know, it can be both. Sometimes people who are asking for help will choose the wrong person, and they'll have a guardian, a conservator, or an agent under a power of attorney that actually victimizes them. Of course, most family members and most trustees are trustworthy people, but some are not.
Are there already laws and safeguards in place before these new recommendations?
There are, certainly. The things we're talking about are crimes. There's specifically a crime that applies to someone who uses a power of attorney. It's called theft by fiduciary. So many times the crime can be prosecuted, but preserving the assets, preserving the testimony, and a lot of the things that are addressed in these new recommendations are really very much needed.
Talking to John Hendrick with the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups about this new task force series of guidelines on elder financial abuse. And let's get into now what is in this plan. First, I understand it would allow securities professionals to notify the State Department of Financial Institutions or other agencies if they suspect financial exploitation. How does that fit into the puzzle?
That's very helpful. Under current law, banks have an immunity that they can make reports of financial exploitation and they can refuse to accept a financial power of attorney. But this expands that to security professionals. And for people who have a great deal of assets, they're probably invested in securities, and these are the very people that have a chance to prevent the financial exploitation.
So this is telling them if you see something, say something, basically. They don't have to take things at face value?
Absolutely. And in addition, it gives them the grounds to delay or refuse a transaction and to refuse to accept a financial power of attorney if it is suspicious. So that's very strong protection. And at the same time, it gives them legal immunity so that they cannot be sued for the decisions they make if they're in good faith trying to protect someone.
And there are enhanced penalties coming from the task force here for people who commit elder financial abuse. What would that look like?
Well, there already in the law, there are many penalty enhancements, and hate crimes is a good example. So if someone commits a crime and they do it for the purpose of discriminating against someone because of race, that there's an enhancement. And this would be similar, just to show the seriousness of how society looks at stealing from our older adults.
What else stands out for you in these task force recommendations?
Well, a couple things. The idea that in a criminal case, the district attorney would be allowed to ask to freeze the assets of the perpetrator. One of the biggest problems we run into is even when someone does report a financial crime, and if indeed it is prosecuted, and some of the police departments and some of the prosecutors are very zealous in pursuing these cases, but once it goes through a criminal case, a lot of times the assets are gone. In this case, if you were able to freeze the assets of the perpetrator, that would keep those assets available. And then if the court orders restitution 1 or 2 years in the future, the assets will still be there. So that would make a big difference.
I imagine the best thing here would be to deter this from happening in the first place. Do you and your organization have advice for seniors and family members to set up financial power of attorney and other arrangements to have transparency, to make sure that this kind of thing can't happen?
Absolutely. Financial power of attorney is a good example. Two things that can be done are, first, the financial power of attorney should prohibit gifting. That is the most abused provision. People think they can make gifts to themselves, and you want to make that clear that that is not a power that the agent has. And then also to allow other family members to be informed of what's going on. So it's not just one person. If you perhaps make a mistake and choose the wrong son or daughter or nephew, that other people know what's going on. So those are two good protections for financial power of attorney.
And I understand your organization has a hotline to help people out with these issues?
That's true. We encourage people to call us if they're victims of financial crime. We do serve victims over 60, and we have an 800 number, which is 800-488-2596. And so we help victims of crime over 60.
If there's a family member, maybe somebody under 60, another child, a sibling, whatever, are there warning signs that they could watch out for that financial abuse might be going on?
Absolutely. Sometimes they'll see a change in the behavior of their family member, their friend. Sometimes they people at banks will notice that there's an unusual financial pattern. Somebody who always paid the same bills in the same amounts, they start withdrawing large amounts of cash, and sometimes the warning signs are apparent at the financial institution. And in an extreme case, somebody may not have money to buy their medicine, to buy food, and it may be affecting their health. And that's the first warning sign that you see that something's very wrong, and eventually it turns out to be financial exploitation.
So for that third party person, not the the senior themselves, who might be being defrauded, are there actions they can take?
Absolutely. Both banks and family members have the protection. If they call us or they call Adult Protective Services, those calls are confidential. And they also have legal immunity if they report in good faith. So we encourage people to call us or call Adult Protective Services or call law enforcement, but please speak up and don't worry that it will cause problems later. It's more likely that these are not being reported. That's where most of the problems are.
As we wrap up, do you see these new recommendations for the task force, this new plan, as something that's really going to make a difference?
I think so. In the cases that are prosecuted, the ability to preserve testimony, to videotape an older person before they may sicken, or they may have memory problems, or they may die, that's going to be a big advantage. The Department of Justice having a financial auditor to help prosecutors, because these are complicated cases. So all those things, I think, are going to help. And the main thing is for people to watch for warning signs and to report. So we get those 34 out of 35 unreported cases, at least get them into the system.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
John Hendrick is the director of the Elder Law Center and Elder Financial Empowerment Project for the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups. He joined us today to talk about the plan unveiled by the State Department of Justice aimed at cracking down on financial abuse of seniors and vulnerable adults. If you or a senior you know needs assistance recovering from this kind of financial abuse, you can call the group's toll-free helpline at 800-488-2596.